Naboo. Naboo, as we go, let's start with his overview. You found this page. Near the top of the page is a three-star. It says Naboo Overview. When you click on it, and right at the top of that overview is an artifact of Naboo. Now, take a look at that statue. Of course, that's an American soldier there, as during the Baghdad and Iraqi wars. Okay. Anyway, here's Naboo. Now, you take Naboo off that pedestal and set him beside this soldier, and you have the actual size, because that statue is a life-size statue of the god Naboo. Now you take a look at Naboo, and you look at this soldier, and you see we are made in the image of them. Naboo, being that he becomes important, especially once Osiris is killed, but Naboo is an important god, which you will see. He's a warrior god, as his statue stands next to a warrior here. Anyway, this statue is now destroyed because ISIS went through these museums and went through these ancient cities and destroyed everything they found on the Anunnaki who came down and had sex with the daughters of men and started the worker race. You're looking at a life-size statue of one of those. Now, Naboo is born on Earth. Okay. Naboo, that's what he's known as through the Sumerian and Egyptian. And Nebo is the same. It's another name for Naboo. And it's hard to swallow. But Yahweh ends up being the name of one of these guys. And since the symbol of Yahweh is the six-pointed star, that's Naboo's symbol. Logics would say Yahweh is meant to be Naboo when you get to the Hebrews. And I'll explain that later. Naboo is the third son to Marduk. And of course, Marduk's spouse, Sarpanet. He's the third son. Naboo's the younger brother to the twins, Asher and Seth, or Osiris and Seth. That's your Egyptian names for him. But anyway, he's the younger brother to these two twins. So there's three sons to Marduk. By the time Seth kills Asher and Ningazita takes semen from the dead body and miraculously impregnates Isis with it to produce Horus. So there's the beginning of Horus. He steps in at that time, but it is Naboo once Seth kills Asher, oldest brother, that Seth, they either executed him or something, because you just never heard from again. Another older brother disappeared. That leaves only Naboo on the scene. He becomes very important to Marduk, to say the least. Okay, so Naboo, he's a warrior god, and he fights with his father. And at that time, Asher is around, and he's fighting against Ninurta, Nergal, the dead, and Inanna. Now, what you're talking about is Marduk trying to claim supremacy over all of the gods on Earth Colony. Well, that position is Enlil's. He's Earth Colony commander, and he's the heir to the king. Marty thinks his father, Inki, was screwed. It should have been him heir to the king, because he's the oldest and the wisest, except he's not born of the double seed. So Enlil, the younger brother, half-brother, is the heir to the king. Marnik says, okay, this doesn't fly. My dad got screwed. I'm going to jump in and claim what belongs to my father, supremacy over all the gods on earth. Well, he's doing this while he's establishing Babylon. And Marduk liked to bring his earthlings a little more advanced than the other people's earthlings. Enlil's bringing them along slow. Under Marduk, bringing earthlings along faster, such as in Babylon and then later in Egypt. They're the most advanced societies. So Babylon starts to anger Enlil and his descendants, which are Ninurta, Nergal, the dad, Inanna. Those are his warrior descendants. So here he is, Nabu married to Nanaya. That is her Mesopotamian name. He is the patron god of the city of Borsippa. That's where he lives. And the city developed beneath his ziggurat, like all cities. And that is called civilization. It happened overnight. Man went from caveman to these cities. Well, I've explained that. If you need to review that, go to Inki's page. Anyway, Nabu lives in Borsippa, which is not far at all from his father's city of Babylon. Okay, so Izita is what they call his house, his temple in Borsippa. And it means true house. I mean, how obvious is this? That's where he lived. He was a member of Babylon, which is Marduk's new pantheon of 12 gods, as he's trying to eliminate Enlil's side and bring everything basically to Inki's side. He creates a new pantheon of gods, and he puts, of course, his son in there, who is a scribe. Not only is he a warrior god, but he's a scribe for Marduk, his father. There are artifacts to that effect. Mars was given to him. Mars, you see, was first established in the warehouses, and the whole way station was first established by Marduk. Therefore, there's a kinship claim, I guess, of theirs to ours. Anyway, Mars is the sixth planet. When you're these guys coming into our solar system from outer space, Mars is the sixth star that you come upon, the sixth planet. So if you'd like, go ahead and count them from Pluto on down to Mars. It's number six. So because Mars is number six and it's his planet symbol, Nabu's symbol becomes the six-pointed star, the sixth star in our solar system, the six-pointed star. Just like the seven-pointed star is the symbol of Earth, and it's also the symbol of Enlil, Earth Colony Commander. They've been given star symbols, zodiac symbols, animal symbols, so many different ways that things are hidden referencing these gods. And they're referenced in all those ways, star symbols and so on. Okay, Mars, by the way, established by his father, Marduk, for the purpose of being a way station, as Enki's descendants and worker group of 300 are in the mines in South Africa picking up the gold and whatever. They ship it up to Enlil and his clan in the Garden of Eden. There, Gibel will smelt that down to where it's pure gold, getting rid of unwanted weight. Gold is heavy. When they get a load of it, they ask for the truckers, the Ijiji, of which there's 300 stationed on Mars and space trucking goods from Earth to Nibiru, which is the gold, and then from Nibiru bringing back supplies, stopping at the way station, just a quick drop off on Mars, and then of course a quick drop off to Earth. So it's all set up for the acquisition of gold discovered on Earth. Nabu, under his father who established Mars, takes the symbol of Mars, that six-pointed symbol today. We all know who uses that six-pointed star symbol. It is the Jews of Israel, the Israelis, the Hebrew, the Jews. That's who uses the six-pointed star symbol. There's no denying that. Nabu had a giant mixed breed demigod son that they appointed to king of Babylon. And this is, you know, in 500 BC. So his name is Nabonidus. And you can find him under Babylon, along with all the Babylonian kings. And that's what you find in each of these city-states that I have listed on the front page. You go there to find the kings and what the kings said about the gods and what the gods might have said about the kings. That's where you find that information. And it's very interesting. So there's so much here to see. You can't do it in 2 minutes. It's just not possible if you're interested in the knowledge. So this is the overview. I'm trying to give you just a quick idea of who he is. And that's what he looks like. Good God, what else do you need? Well, let's go and take a look at texts. So on his web page, now we're back to the page, instead of the overview, which is on the page, the first slideshow you come to is Nabu. And if you hit refresh on your computer, these slideshows will start at the beginning. Okay? As I do this now, I'm going to have to wait a while. But these are artifacts pertaining to Nabu, and most all these artifacts, okay, it starts with statues. There you go. And here's it being discovered in the dirt. And then, I mean, take a look. That's what they look like. Okay? And as you go through there, then you start seeing the cylinder seals, reverse carved. I mean, a little difficult for caveman to do, don't you think? So, okay, these are different images, mostly statues and things, of Nabu. A very interesting one is one U. I suggest if you can, take a close look at one U. Nabu in Washington, D.C., right there on the Library of Congress, the John Adams building, right there, Nabu. Our government, and you'll find these gods all over our government, all over D.C., and sitting on top of the Congress building is the main goddess of America, in my opinion, Columbia. Okay, so here's Nabu's slideshow. We slide down to Nabu's text. We already went over the overview. Down to Nabu's quotes, if you want to do things quickly, pick up key quotes from Nabu on different texts. There's no rhyme or reason of order to it. They're just there for your review if you wanted quotes. But look at the picture there. Here are the artifacts being discovered, laying in the dirt. Now, this is happening in the mid-1800s on through the early 1900s. They discover these ancient cities, and they discover tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of artifacts. These bigger ones are texts. What you're talking about is wet clay and a stylus poking in the language. It's the first written language on earth. They're worth reading, some of it. Some of it are just records that don't, you know, boring records about the barley crop and so forth, or astrology. Okay, I'm interested in the gods and what the kings, the first kings, the demigods. So here, the picture on the right, you're looking at texts and organized like a library. Okay. The first one is Marduk's ordeal. Well, that's just simply a battle Marduk has, and I give it a 1 star. The next one is the nuclear battle. Well, it's not a battle. It's a nuclear attack upon Marduk, his cities, his descendants, by Enlil's descendants, trying to take Marduk out of the picture for claiming, or at least attempting to claim, supremacy God on Earth. I mean, you want to make Enlil angry, do that. Claim it's your responsibility, not Enlil's. Nobody backs you up by that. Enki is saying, well, yeah, but stop. His mother, Nin-Herzog, is saying, well, that's not his mother, but Nin-Herzog is his aunt, I guess you would call it. She is saying, stop, stop, don't do this. No warring, don't kill each other, don't destroy what we've built. Don't. And their hatred for each other, she goes to Enlil's people. And her son and Enlil's son is Ninurta. She's begging, don't do it, Ninurta. Don't nuke them. She's trying to stop these wars between cousins. Enki does also. It doesn't work. So the seven evil spirits text, I give it a 3 star. Man, you got to read that. Advice to a prince, a lot of information there. I give it a 3 star. It's not quite the seven evil spirits type of text, but it's still a very important text. A lot of information. And then here's other texts that have no must read to it. You can always read those. But I suggest, well, for instance, I've read each one of these texts at least a dozen times, sometimes maybe 20 or 30. Okay, next is a little quote out of the Bible, Genesis 6. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God, and that's what it says, sons of God, went to the daughters of men, had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. Their children, these demigod mixed breeds, descendants of gods on earth, they become the first kings. They are appointed to the in-between position of earthling and god. They're the go-between. So with the god lays down the rules for the city and whatever he wants the king to do, that is done through this relationship of a demigod who will take the orders and execute the god's wishes if he knows what's good for him. So if you live in Borsippa, you're going to take Nabu's direction, okay? And that's the king. But the other position that they would give these demigods is the high priest. So the first high priest, first priest, and the first kings are mixed breeds, heroes of old, men of renown. The people that the Bible writes, the Old Testament writes about, and the very ones that Mesopotamia writes about. And you can find all these kings in their cities. City-states is what they actually are. Okay, so at the bottom of this, you'll see what I'm talking about. There's a praise to Nabu, probably a short. Here's one from Esarhaddon, that's a two-star. Well, there's information there. None of these are very long. Here's a one-star. And, you know, as you go through king after king throughout the whole period of time, you can see in this period it's this guy and this guy and this guy. I try to make it an easy understanding for you. And Ashurbanipal, these are important kings. Texts are about these kings and their relationship to the gods. Okay. And then, let's see, at the bottom, we will see the six planets or stars coming in from out of space equals Mars. Nabu's symbol is the six-pointed star, and we're going to look at ancient artifacts depicting the six-pointed star. If you want to stop the slideshow, put your cursor on it, on an artifact. A brief description will pop out. If that description is blocking your view, complete view, put your cursor on the other artifact. And now there's the description for it popping up, but none for the one you want to examine. So there's a way to stop the slideshow and examine the artifacts and a brief description to help you. Take a look and see what you see. Here are six-pointed stars that go way back in time. And here, beginning six-pointed stars, current day. Six-pointed stars, just recent history. Six-pointed stars in the Masonic symbols. The whole Masonic concept. You got six-pointed, seven-pointed, eight-pointed, all referring to one of these gods. There's a, let's see, the double-headed seal, number 41. It's the USA. It's a seal. It's Nabu's six-pointed star, the double-headed eagle of Ninurta. They fight each other. But here, both of them are on this Masonic symbol. Okay? Double-headed eagle, Ninurta. The heir, and under Enlil, the Earth Colony commander. U.S. Marshals, again, positions of authority, current day, a six-pointed U.S. Marshal, six-pointed sheriff, six-pointed marshals. Uh-oh, six-pointed coins from the 1800s. Columbia, the goddess, is on our coins, and you'll find six-pointed stars all around her on this, I believe, is a 50-cent piece. What's the date on it? 1860. You see the shield, the goddess of war and love. Sometimes you'll find one of her breasts uncovered. But she's the goddess of love and war. She's all over, by the way. That's Columbia. We have D.C., the District of Columbia. And the whole thing is designed by Masons, George Washington being the head. Take a look at our coinage. You're looking at Masonic symbols all over our American image. Okay? Also, you're looking at the six-pointed star, of course, through the Israelis. You can also find that in our farms, in England's farms, there are crop circles that appeared quite often during a period of time. And here you see six-pointed star within a six-pointed star. What are they trying to tell you with that crop circle? Okay? Six within a six. 12, by the way, is an important number for them. Crop circles, six-pointed stars, ancient artifacts, six-pointed stars. Artifact number one, symbols of the gods. Take a look. A six-pointed star god, an eight-pointed star god, and a seven-pointed star god. That's Nabu. Then Anu, later given to Inanna, eight-pointed star. Six-pointed, we're talking about the symbol of Mars. And Nabu. Eight-pointed, we're talking about the symbol of Venus. And Inanna in the later days, okay? The goddess of love and war. She takes the king's symbols and the king's temple because the king isn't coming to earth much these days. Okay, and then you see the seven-pointed star. Well, that's Enlil. So when you take a look at positions of authority today, you will see those with the seven-pointed star all over badges that are worn today by people of authority within each city. That's Enlil. Then you see the moon crescent. Well, that's Nanner. Nanner is Enlil's son. Nabu is Marduk's son. Inanna is Enlil's niece. And then again, ancient six-pointed stars. A very interesting artifact is number two. You'll see the plus symbol. What? That's a Masonic symbol all over their shields, all over their sails, all over everything they do. That is the cross symbol of planet Nibiru that crosses through our solar system. That is so ancient, but so popular in use today. Look at the Pope. He's wearing this cross in his garb. Up here's a six-pointed star. Here's what looks like a goddess seated. A symbol. Your scholars can tell you what that is. I'm interested in the cross symbol, the six-pointed star symbol, the moon symbol of Nanner, the sun symbol of Nanner's son, Utu, the high priest without hair, standing and paying homage to the goddess who has the horn-rimmed crown. That's not her head way up there. That's a crown of animal horns, showing that she is a royal descendant of the king of their planet. look at 2A. Look at that closely. 2A is simply our solar system. And right in the middle, you got the sun, and it's depicted. They sneak in a six-pointed star on this particular artifact. We're just zeroed in on a little section of this artifact. There's your 12 planets, or 12 stars, and they're in the exact position they should be, and the exact size relationship to each other they should be. How could ancient man know anything about this? Hell, we didn't discover Pluto till, what, 1937? I mean, give me a break. How could we know every one of these stars in our solar system, their size and their position? Good God. So if you want evidence of our history, I bring it to you. And I make it easy to understand. It's just hard to swallow. So more six-pointed stars. You even see Nabu's seal with his six-pointed star symbol. And he's usually paying homage to his father. For instance, in number 3, he's standing before the temple of Marduk with Marduk's symbol, the rock. Marduk's son, Nabu, paying homage to his father, Marduk, with Nabu's symbol above Nabu. So you got Marduk's symbol, Nabu's symbol. You find symbols all over the place, as you do today. You can find them all over the place. Look at, for instance, BMW or Chrysler. GM will give you the plus sign. Those will give you the flying disc. And on and on. It's everywhere in our current day. And it's used by Masons because they know what it stands for. Artifact 5 is the difference between the god and the giant mixed breed king. There's a difference in heights. And there's a difference in skills, speed, strength, and longevity of life. To us, these gods are immortal. They age so slowly, and we age so quickly. More and more of the six-pointed stars, even involving Enki and Ninhursag, involving in altars, involving everywhere you see a beautiful artifact, is number 8, where you're looking at 3 gods in a flying disc. It's a beautiful artifact, clear as day. Nothing's flying at 4 or 3,000 BC. Nothing's flying. What is all of this? Well, the only thing that looks for sure that anyone can figure out is that's 3 guys in a flying disc when nothing flies. And then over here on the edges, you see a giant mixed breed versus the giant gods. The mixed breed takes all his direction from the gods, or he'll find himself dead. Artifact after artifact, loaded with symbols. I'm showing you the six-pointed star symbols of Nabu. He has another symbol as we scroll down. His symbol being that he is a scribe. You'll see him carrying a tablet or a stylus and tablet. So there are artifacts that, let's see if we can go through these. Again, you just hit refresh if you want to start it from the beginning. But there's this stylus, and sometimes these symbols are depicted on top of a temple residence. For instance, 14 artifact under Nabu's scribe symbol, you'll see a dog sitting on top of a ziggurat or a constructed piece. That dog is the symbol of Bo. You'll see other symbols. You'll see mixed breed and a ton of symbols there, including Abu's. More symbols all the way through this. And when you look at these symbols, surely you're going to see something you've seen before. Brief description pops up. I suggest you stop the slideshow, look at the artifact that interests you, and take a good look at it. Okay, you can find more of Nabu when you go to his city-state, Borsippa. And when you do, just click on right there, Borsippa. Let's take a look. There's a map showing you where it is and so forth. And texts. The Eridu Genesis, 3-star. Read it. I strongly suggest it. But there's very little here to look at. But you will find the ziggurat ruins, and you will find, it's hard to believe, but you will find the Tower of Babel. Marduk built the Tower of Babel in his son's, right by his son's city of Borsippa. There are ruins of this tower still in existence in the artifacts that I show you in the slideshow. So, what we're talking about is, as Marduk is declaring himself supreme god, he builds his own launch and landing site. He does so because to use the existing launch and landing sites, you have to have Enlil's permission and go through Utu to do it. Utu runs the port. The landing ports and the liftoff. He creates those platforms with which will withstand that by cutting into the mountains. Anyway, Utu's got a symbol and it's the rock saw. Here you see ruins of the Tower of Babel. And this is very hard, but there it is, seeing's believing. What happened there is Marduk tries to find his own way to blast off and to land. And in doing so, as he's constantly making Enlil outraged, this is a final straw. That's it. Enlil's had it. This tower cannot be allowed. Enlil runs things, not Marduk. So in Borsippa, you're looking at this thing with a ziggurat house nearby, and the city of Borsippa down low. So you have Nabu's residence, and you have the Tower of Babel. What in the world? The Tower of Babel is constructed by those loyal to Marduk and Nabu, and those against it. All his descendants want it destroyed. So what happens? Enlil, who has just had enough, he changes the language of everybody sitting there in Borsippa, and especially those working on the tower. No more communication. That thing has been shut down and then destroyed. You're looking at the ruins. Number 8 will give you an idea. And number 7, good color picture. So Marduk is stopped. His launch and landing pad is stopped. His attempt to act as Earth colony commander is being stopped, and it's all through destruction and war. War between the gods, who bring their loyal earthlings against your loyal earthlings, and man to this very day has been stuck with the concept of war. One God's earthling workers versus another God's earthlings. And at this time, they were all led by giant mixed breed kings who are relatives to the gods. So, Borzepa is worth going to take a quick look at. There isn't much, but it's a lot when you put it together. So, again, I want to thank you for coming to my website and looking at Nabu's page and trying to closely get a better understanding of who Nabu really is and what he did. From the six-pointed star, you can kind of figure from there. It's all right here. How much of it you want to swallow doesn't matter to me. I just bring it to you like no one has, because this is the knowledge that has been kept secret and used by the Masons worldwide. I go back to that statue of Nabu where we first started looking at artifacts, and the soldier standing next to him, you have a life-size view of this god. You can go to Washington and you'll find this god, possibly life-size again, carved by the United States for all time on our monuments, done by us. Or should I say, done by Masons who know what they're doing here, and you don't. I have now exposed all this. I hope it helps you in some way. I hope it sparks an interest so you will continue to come back and learn about others. Thank you again. I'm so happy you've come. Thank you so much.